Revelation chapter 22, and just read the last couple of verses, and then let's say we will be referring to other scriptures, verse 20 and 21. Remember, next Sunday night, young people are taking the service in its totality, and Joyce will be here to preach the word. The following week, we have Redeemed here to sing. You don't want to miss that. And then the following week will be our carol service. We're getting so near Christmas, and so we're going to have our carol service. Three great nights to look forward to. Joyce is also doing the Bible class for the next two Wednesday nights. And then we have Kyle back with us, and Kyle's taking the two Bible classes running us up to Christmas. So we have two young men preaching over the next four Wednesday nights. And again, a good reason for you to be there to hear these young men open up the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, and we'll read from verse number 20, please. He which testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we trust that God will bless the public reading of His own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts. Over this past, I said 2 years, probably a year and a half, we began in September 2021, we began to do a Bible study on the book of the Revelation. And so we've been going through this book, Wednesday night by Wednesday night. I think this is message number 30, perhaps 31. I'm not sure if they're all on sermon audio. One or two may have been missed. And so we're coming to the final message in the book of the Revelation. I'm sure for some perhaps it's a welcome relief, but I do trust that as God promised when we began the book of Revelation, remember, the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing if you read it and study it and obey it. Now, there's a blessing from every book in the Bible, but there's a specific blessing promised to those who will read, understand, and obey what God has to say in the book of Revelation. So I hope it has been a blessing to you. I want to talk tonight, first of all, about the exactness emphasized here. Look at verse number 6 up the chapter in Revelation 22. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Notice the angel talking about the prophecies in this book, talks about these sayings. Surely that's what we've been studying in the book of the Revelation. We could go right back to the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3, right through the tribulation period, right through to the when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, through the battle of Armageddon, right when Christ establishes his millennial kingdom, right through the millennial kingdom. Then we have the great white throne of judgment for sinners. And then we have eternity, and we had two great nights on eternity, a new heaven and a new earth. And I hope the people of God, after those studies, are going home saying, it's great to be saved. And so this prophecy here is what this book is about. But then we could talk about a person. Look again at verse number 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The CPS in the United Kingdom, that's the organization that decides whether someone should be prosecuted or not. Not an organization you want to come in touch with at all. They said the other day, I think it was just this week, last week, some verses in the Bible are no longer appropriate for modern society. That's the criminal prosecuting people are telling us that this book, some of this book, is no longer appropriate for modern society. This book, we're told, is faithful and true. I'm going to go with the Word of God. I'm not going to worry about the CPS this evening. There's something else about the words faithful and true. Revelation 3, verse 14. When the Lord was writing to the church of Laodicea, here's what it says. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Revelation 19, verse 11, we read about the Lord coming back again. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Jesus Christ is called faithful and true. This book is faithful and true, specifically the book of Revelation, but of course, all of the Bible. What I'm saying to you this evening is, the prophecies in Revelation are as trustworthy as Christ. As trustworthy as Christ. That's what it means. If you deny the prophecies in this book, then you're calling Christ a liar. That's how strong it is this evening. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, and you ignore the fact that Jesus is coming again, you ignore the fact that this book, indeed Revelation, talks about heaven, and Revelation talks about hell. If you decide to ignore this tonight, you're basically calling Christ a liar. Because you're saying, I don't believe in any of this. You see the prophecy tonight? You see the person? We could talk about the past. Again, in verse number 6, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be. It talks about the holy prophets, and really that's taken us into the Old Testament. And we're coming up to the Christmas season. And when you get into the Old Testament prophets, you read a lot about Christ's first coming. You'll discover what family he would come from, what tribe he would come from. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be born of a virgin. You read about not only his birth and his life, but you read about his death. In Isaiah chapter 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And so all of these prophecies have been fulfilled to the last letter. Therefore, the God of the holy prophets is the God that has given these prophecies that tell us that Jesus Christ is coming again. There's a promise in this book, indeed, in this chapter. Look at verse number 7. I'm just going to do this very quickly. There is a wonderful promise here. Verse 7, the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Verse number 12, behold, I come quickly. Verse number 20, he which testifies these things said, surely I come quickly. Three times we're told that Jesus is coming, and he's coming quickly. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It could happen in a moment. It could happen tonight. And I want to speak to you if you're not saved tonight. As sure as Christ is a person and Christ is the eternal Son of God, you can believe what this book says tonight. It's as genuine as Christ is. And Jesus says, I'm coming again. And if Christ were to come back tonight and you're not saved, let me just say this very simply tonight. You'll be lost, and lost for all eternity. You know, there's a warning here as well, as we think of the exactness emphasized here tonight. Look at verse number 18 and 19 in Revelation chapter 22. I'm just skimming through this tonight, and don't worry, I'll not keep you late this evening. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's a desperate warning, isn't it? Tamper with the word of God. Take away from it or add to it, and you're in danger tonight. I love the authorized version of the Bible. And that's why, and I'm no Greek scholar, I'm no Hebrew scholar. That's why I stay away from modern versions. Because if you add to the Word of God, and they may do it not intentionally, if you take away from the Word of God, you can't expect the blessing of God. And so I'll just stick with the King James Version, if you don't mind. Because I trust it tonight. And I don't like anybody that tampers with the Word of God. You see the exactness emphasized this evening? You see the effect that's expected tonight? Look at verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Keep means to hold firm. You see, as a believer this evening, as you read this book of Revelation, as you realize that Jesus is coming again, it's expected that you and I will obey the word of God. We wouldn't want to be in a state of disobedience if Christ were to come back this evening. Peter says this, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We would want to be obedient when Christ comes back. This book should cause you and I, as believers this evening, to want to obey the word of God. It should cause obeyance as well. By that I mean respect and worship. Look at verses 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. We're never told to worship angels. And John has been at this carry-on before. And once again, he's rebuked. Verse number 9. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Here's the command, worship God. This is a worship book. And you know, when you read through the book of the Revelation, you discover that they worship the Lord right throughout this book. The word worship really is worship. And if you take the word worthy tonight, you know, in Revelation 4, verse 11, thou art worthy. Revelation 5, verse 9, thou art worthy. Revelation 5, verse 11, worthy is the Lamb. We worship him because he's worth it tonight. This book tells us he's worth it. This is a book that should cause you to obey the word of God. This is a book that should cause you to worship the Lord, the obedience. This is a book that should cause outreach among the people of God. Look at verse number 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know, Daniel was told back in Daniel chapter 12, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Daniel's prophecy wasn't for then, it's for now. The prophecy in Revelation is for now. We're not to hide this, we're to open it up. And dear child of God this evening, this book should cause us to care about lost souls. Do you remember the night when we gathered around the great white throne of judgment? You could have heard a pin drop in this meeting as we just went through what the great white throne was. How sinners will face God face to face. Heaven and earth have fled away. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, nowhere to juke. Just you and the Lord face to face. And the books were opened. The book of life was opened. And the other books were opened. And in these books are recorded every deed that you have ever been engaged in. Every sinful thought, every sinful word, every sinful deed. And the books were opened and the book of life was opened. And whosoever from Raphaeland, who wasn't written in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. And what a prayer meeting we had that night. Because God's people really prayed. I'll tell you, dear child of God, if you really get a glimpse of what this book's about, you'll want to be telling men and women about Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you're not saved tonight, you're going to have to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see the exactness emphasized tonight. This is true. This is genuine. This is real, no matter what the CPS happened to say. You see the effect expected from the child of God this evening. And then you see the evangelistic extent. Look at verse 17. Here we have an invitation. The last invitation of the Bible. And there's always the last invitation, isn't there? There's always the last time when someone is invited to come to Christ. Maybe tonight is the last time that Christ will ever speak to you. Look at the peoples in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is an invitation by the Spirit and the bride. The bride is the church. There's a longing here. This is an invitation for Christ to come. That's what the first part of this invitation is. I know sometimes we read it differently. But there's two comes and two invitations in this verse. This is the first one. This is the church crying out. This is the Spirit of God crying out, "Oh Lord Jesus, come, how long?" And you know, tonight, and I understand why perhaps we're not crying it. Tonight, if we could just get a glimpse of the world again, how it's turned us back on God, how it hates God, how it hates the Word of God, how it has no time for the people of God. And we live in a world that is anti-God and anti-Christ. And no wonder we're crying, "Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come." And the Spirit of God that is wrought with sinners and wrought with sinners and wrought with sinners and over again has been resisted. No wonder the Spirit has said, "Come, Lord, come." And tonight, as God's people, we in our heart, there's part of us saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But you know, there's part of us holding back tonight because you're not saved. And we don't want to go to heaven without you. And there's mums and dads here, don't want to go to heaven without their children. And there's family, don't want to go to heaven without other family members. And so there's a longing in our hearts for Christ to come, but we're holding back tonight. And then there's another invitation here. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. This is not an invitation for Christ to come to the world. This is an invitation for you to come to Christ. It talks about those who are athirst tonight. And you know, when you're thirsty, you realize you need something. And only those who have that understanding, and I believe it's a God-created thirst, and they understand something's missing. Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." The Lord Jesus said in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And there's a thirsting, there's a desire for Christ in your heart tonight. And the word is going out to you, "Come, come, come. Come and take of the water of life tonight." Last invitation in the Bible, maybe the last invitation to you. You see the people's here, they're longing and listening. You see the plea here, "Whosoever will." This is for you tonight. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." Here's the greatest part of the text. "Let him take of the water of life." Listen, freely. Freely. Absolutely free tonight. You know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were crying out for water, and God told Moses to go up to the rock and smite the rock, and the water flowed out of the rock. And there they could drink freely. When Christ was hanging on that cross, when he was lifted up to die, God the Father smote him with your sin and mine. And he paid redemption's price in full. And tonight he says, "Come and take of the water of life freely." But you know, you won't come if you don't know there's a thirst. If you don't know there's a need. This book tells us that you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You're a sinner without Christ and you need God's salvation tonight. You need the forgiveness of sins. And when you have that thirst in your heart and you come to Christ, turning your back on your sin, repenting of your sin and coming by faith to Christ, you can take and drink of the water of life freely. What a glorious invitation. Do you see the instigator of it? Look at verse 13. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the author and finisher of our faith." This is confirming again the deity of Christ tonight. He is God manifest in flesh. Look at verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David." How can he be the root and the offspring? How can he be before David, the root of David, and yet after David, the offspring of David. In his deity, he's the root of David. In his humanity, he's the offspring of David. He could trace his lineage back to David. He is fully God, and he is fully man. And notice what he's called in verse 16. He's called the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star tells us that the night is past. The new day has come. And one day, Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, he will appear. This has been a long night for many of us on this earth. Some have been through dark, dark, dark and difficult times. Dreadful times. One day soon, Christ will appear, the bright and morning star. And the darkness and the night will leave behind. And we'll enter into glory with Christ. But what about you tonight? Will it be from the darkness of earth into eternal darkness for you? Look what it says in verse number 11. I hope you're able to follow me tonight. I know I'm going quickly. You see the invitation, the instigator. Look at the importance. I want you to catch the word still here. Here's the bright and morning star, and he comes back. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Whatever condition you're in when Christ comes back, is a permanent condition for you. Filthy, unholy, ungodly, then that's you. And it'll be hell for all eternity. Too late to change it then. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. No hope, no opportunity of salvation. No way out. What an important decision you have to make tonight. Verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Oh, you don't want to be in that company. You don't want to spend eternity with that band of people. But if you're unjust, you'll be unjust still. If you're filthy, you'll be filthy still. And listen, do you know what filthy is? All our righteousness, Isaiah tells us, are just filthy rags. If your good works are filthy when it comes to eternity, we can't imagine what our sinful deeds must be like. That's why we need Christ tonight. Because there is none that doeth good. No, not one. I'm nearly finished. You see the exactness emphasized. You see the effect expected. You see the evangelistic extent. But I want to finish off with an encouraging ending. You know, if you were to go to the Old Testament, you know, it ends in Malachi, and it ends with a curse. Malachi 4, verse 6. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Ends with a curse. When you come to the end of the New Testament, look at verse 20 and 21. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And look at verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know, it ends in grace. You know, it's through grace that you and I can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't deserve salvation. It's only by the grace of God. And in his grace, he's reaching out to you tonight. He says, I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to take away your sin. I'm willing to be your savior. I'm willing to prepare a place in heaven for you. And in his matchless grace, he says, I can save you tonight. And you know, he'll not only save you, he'll sustain you tonight. My grace is sufficient for thee. And through his grace, he'll secure you tonight. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. By his grace tonight, you can be saved. But one day the day of grace will end. The brightened morning star will appear. And every child of God will enter into glory. But what about you tonight? These sayings are faithful and true. Most of you know the testimony of John Newton, how he was reached and how he was gloriously and greatly saved. It was said of John Newton, I think this is on his tombstone, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. It was amazing grace. And of course, he gave us that wonderful hymn. And you know the hymn, don't you? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Imagine 10,000 years, and I know time is no more in eternity, but imagine 10,000 years in glory. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Imagine 10,000 years in hell. Just think about it for a moment. And in his grace, he's reaching out to you tonight. What's your response going to be tonight? Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we realize tonight that the Lord is inviting sinners to come and to take of the water of life freely. Lord, there's no barriers, there's no hindrances. There's nothing to be done. Lord, you've just opened up the way for sinners to come. Lord, if there's someone here tonight and perhaps they've been thinking about it, and perhaps the Holy Ghost has been convicting them, and Lord, they realize there's a thirst there, there's a need there. A need that only Christ can satisfy. Lord, we're asking tonight, lovingly and graciously, that you will bring someone through tonight. That someone will come and take of the water of life freely. And know from this moment on, they'll be able to say it as well. It is well with my soul. God forbid, Lord, that any in the meeting in Refreeland tonight would walk away from Christ and shove the invitation back in his face and basically call Christ a liar and continue on a hell-bound pathway. Lord, move in our midst tonight. For in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.